At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Good morning from Evo! Welcome to Bumpy Las Vegas for Christmas with myself, Craig H. Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast, and we've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, Brendan Marks, who does absolutely tremendous work over at The Athletic. We're going to be chatting with him a little bit about ACC realignment, what we have seen out of the main beats that he covers, the North Carolina Tar Heels along with the Duke Blue Devils, what's all been happening with them this offseason, what's happening with regards to the transfer portal as I record this, just now closing, and my thoughts about that in segment number one, and then we're also going to be chatting with him just about in general, teams that he felt like have done a good job this far in the transfer portal. In the final segment, going to get you guys a recap of all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday, and if you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we have fired those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by that 5-star review. And I did not get in any Twitter/X questions, and please do fire those in, because typically I base segment number one around them, so it very much does help me out with regards to that. But that said, in terms of what we're all getting in college basketball right now is the fact that the transfer portal, it has now closed, but I would say don't bank on this being a certainty, and the reason why is we remember the NCAA's stance on those two-time transfers from a season ago. You had the West Virginia lawsuit, and guess what? The NCAA lost that battle. We have been seeing the NCAA, since NIL really became available, just lose time and time and time again. We have seen politicians really on both sides of the aisle come out against the NCAA, and it's not good, to say the least, what has been happening. They have become the Washington Generals when it comes to all of these things that have gone to court, because, I mean, let's face it, we're going to have probably at some point late in the offseason, perhaps a coach like undergo like some sort of a health thing. I'm not even going to throw out there like a Lake Canning or anything like that. Like, we see it every single year where a coach has something pop up. They have to go to like an interim coach or something like that. Player X says, you know what? I don't want to play for this interim coach. I want to enter in the transfer portal. NCAA is going to tell them no, and then the player is going to take it to court and probably going to win. Like, I'm going to call it what it is. So I think that most players are actually going to respect the rule, and I do think that moving forward, we're going to get much, much less activity than we did a season ago where you had these guys like, for example, Paul Mukahi last year, Keontae Johnson a few years ago, list goes on and on, that are out there in like August, September, just sitting there in the transfer portal. I think that we're going to have much less of that, and I don't think that we're going to have a guy like Nequan Tomlin be able to transfer in season to another school. And I do think that, like I said, a lot of players are going to be like, okay, the portal deadline is May 1st. I am not going to challenge it. I think that most guys are going to respect the rule, especially early on. I don't think that this is going to be something where it's going to turn to like May 3rd and you're going to be seeing some guy challenge this ruling, but I do think that at some point there's going to be someone that becomes distraught. They challenge the NCAA's ruling, and the NCAA, well, they are going to get just completely plowed when it comes to court. So I do think that you want to be mindful of that, and we always want to be mindful of great guests on this podcast. Brandon Marks is one of them. He's going to be joining me next. We're going to be looking at Duke, North Carolina, the ACC, and so much more right here on Cusco Soup with myself, Greg Hughes Peterson, now a part of the New Soup Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to Leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's Leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See Leesa.com for more details.
Welcome back to the Bumpy Las Vegas for Ghost to Ghost with myself, Craig Eats Peterson, now part of the Easton Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man as Brendan Marks. He does great work over at The Athletic, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. He's based out there in the great state of North Carolina, where his main beat are two of the biggest blue bloods in the sport, North Carolina along with Duke. But he really does a great job taking a look at everything out there in ACC country. He does a tremendous job be able to dive in on this sport that we all know and love, especially with an offseason where there has been no shortage of headlines. You're able to follow him on Twitter /X at his first and last name, Brendan Marks, but there's an R in between the first and last name, so Brendan R. Marks altogether. And Brendan, always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Like you said, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we certainly do, Brendan. And Brendan, when it comes to this offseason, it certainly has been an interesting one. But what I think has been big for both Duke and North Carolina is that they do have a few returning parts from this past season. Now with Duke, they do lose Jeremy Roach to Baylor, and that's going to be a little bit of an issue. And for Armando Bacot, well, it felt like this guy was a Van Wilder of college basketball. He was at North Carolina for a very, very long time. But just staying with those two teams, how do you take a look at their off seasons thus far? Because there's no question about it. I think that both of these teams are going to be hitting the portal a little bit, and both of these teams are most likely going to be finding themselves in a little bit of intrigue with regards to the month of May into early June as well, with a lot of these NBA draft decisions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, start with Duke, and obviously losing the bulk of a roster from last year that made the Elite Eight, and came within 20 minutes of making John Shire's first four. You mentioned Jeremy Roach is probably the biggest defector of that group. You know, he's a four-time starter, four-season-long starter, a two-time captain. He's going to have a really interesting legacy at Duke when all is said and done, just because he was basically the guy who bridged the Mike Krzyzewski and John Shire eras, but is obviously off to Baylor. I'd expect him to have great success there. And so Duke's only got two guys coming back, essentially. You know, they've got Tyrese Proctor back. They've got Caleb Foster back in the backcourt. And then around those guys, it's a lot of new faces. So John Shire will welcome in the number one recruiting class in the country, led by Cooper Flagg and Kamon Malwalk, two top five recruits. And then so far, Duke has been active in the portal. You know, you go out and you get two guys who are not necessarily stars, but certainly fill roles. And Mason Gillis from Purdue was the Big Ten Sixth Man of the Year last year. And then Malik Brown from Syracuse, who was an all-ACC level defender. I believe he was the first player in like 20 years of college basketball to have a 5x5 stat line. So 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 blocks, 5 steals, 5 assists in the same game, which is pretty cool. But those guys are certainly more bit players than they are necessarily stars. And like you mentioned, Greg, obviously Duke has still got some work left to do in the portal.
Yep, absolutely. And it is going to be interesting to see what North Carolina is going to be doing moving forward, because they picked up a guy a few days ago, Cade Tyson, who I really feel like fits the system. He was over at Belmont, and he's got a little bit of familiarity with the ACC as well, because for those that remember Hunter Tyson, he's off that family tree as well and has a similar game to Mr. Tyson, who went in the NBA draft in 2023. Someone who's 6'7", is a pretty good three-point shooter, guy that's able to space the floor. Kind of was part of a Belmont team that left a little bit of something to be desired on defense, but how do you take a look at him for this North Carolina team? Because I think that if he's like your number one option, North Carolina might be in a little bit of trouble, but if he's like a number three, number four option, a guy that's able to score on the wing, I think that that's a perfect fit for North Carolina.
Exactly. He's going to come in and he's essentially going to play the same role that Cormac Ryan played for North Carolina last year. Like you said, he'll be that third option, that fourth option. And again, you know, the name of the game with Cade Tyson is three-point shooting. He made 46.5% last year from three, 85.5% from the free throw line. He's made, you know, basically 44.5% of his threes throughout his college career so far. So this guy is a sharpshooter for sure. You know, the interesting thing, like you mentioned, it is he's a little bit longer. He's 6'7", 205. So he's not quite as big as his brother Hunter, who I believe went in the first round, if not close in the top of the second a couple of years ago. But what he does, he's not just necessarily a shooter. When opponents close out too strong, he can get inside, he can drive, he can score at the rim a little bit. He's done a little bit of ball handling, not a ton. So he'll be a secondary option there beside RJ Davis, who's obviously the big name back for North Carolina. But there are certainly minutes and roles that need to be filled for North Carolina. You're losing Armando Bacot, you're losing Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram's off to the NBA draft. That is multiple starters that Hubert Davis is having to replace. And Cade Tyson was one of the Tar Heels' first priorities in the portal. And again, there's more to come, but it's good just to get that one locked down.
Yep, you got to see one go through the hoop, because I take a look at the May 1st deadline in terms of these transfers. So as this podcast uploads, the deadline is going to have come and gone. And how much do you think that that's going to cause these teams to have to work a little bit more quickly here in the offseason as well? Because it was looking like graduate transfers were going to be able to pop into the portal at any time, but that got moved up about a week or two ago. And I do think that as a result, if you're snoozing this offseason, you're losing, for lack of a better term.
Oh my God, you are. And to be honest with you, every coach who I have spoken to, you know, really basically since the season ended, and even when the season was still ongoing, I mean, NC State staff, I mean, I was on the NC State beat at the Final Four, and you know, their staff was recruiting players while they were at the Final Four. I mean, before they even left to go to Phoenix, in between having just made the Final Four, having won the Elite Eight game versus Duke, and then going out to the Final Four, they were hosting transfer portal visits that week, even before their season was officially over. So if you didn't have that sort of head start on things, you are already very, very far behind. Most of the top names on the board have already gone off. Obviously, there are still a couple. There are still a couple more who are going to come available just as that deadline finally hits finality. But for North Carolina and for Duke, they both have gotten those first guys they needed to get. You know, they have continued to round out the roster. North Carolina especially still really needs a big man. Duke could certainly use another big, could probably use another reserve guard behind the two returners. Both of them still have work to do. But again, just like you said, Greg, I mean, especially with not having the leeway of the graduate portal entries like you had last year, which was a mess. You had guys going in the portal in August. That was a disaster for rosters, disaster for coaches. But not having that now, you know everybody who's going to possibly available. You have to go out, you reset your board right now, and then you go at it with everything you've got, because those guys are going to start flying off.
Yep, they certainly are going to. And I think that it's so big that, in my opinion, Duke has been able to change a little bit with the times, especially with John Shire taking over as their coach. As joining me on the show, we do have Brian Marks, who does such good work over at The Athletic, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, because I still remember when Coach K was over at Duke, he always did a tremendous job back in his day and age. But as we know with Coach K, he was one of those guys that very, very, very rarely dove into the transfer portal. Like, it was shocking news when he picked out Seth Curry many years ago, because he was averaging like less than one transfer every 2 years when he was over at Duke. We've already seen Duke, as we're recording this, lock down two guys. It could be even more when this podcast is up, as Malik Brown, very good defender from Syracuse, is coming in. Mason Gillis, sharp 6'6" shooter from Purdue, is coming in as well. How big has it been that Duke has been able to sort of keep up with the times, but at the same time not become like what Eric Musselman has been over at Arkansas/USC and try to get like 20 guys in the portal, which I always feel like that goes a little bit overboard. But at the same time, recognize that, okay, we need to utilize a portal to be able to fill some of these gaps without it becoming an end-all be-all.
Right, and I think that's the big thing, is you don't want to go overboard. You know, you don't want to be rebuilding an entire team every year if you can avoid it out of the portal, again, unless your name is Eric Musselman, in which case that seems to be his proclivity. But here's the thing, like, Duke is in a situation where they are always going to have, especially now that John Calipari is no longer at Kentucky, we'll see what that means for high school recruiting in the next couple of cycles, but Duke is always going to be able to get those elite high school recruits. And this year is no different. They've got Cooper Flagg coming in. He's the number one player in the country, is the projected number one pick in 2025 NBA draft, would absolutely by far and away go number one in this year's draft if he were eligible. They've also got a guy, Kamon Mallwalk. You know, I've had scouts tell me that those two are going to be the most heavily scouted college teammate duo since Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins back at Kansas in 2014. So, like, that is always going to be sort of the standard for high school recruiting at Duke. But what John Shire is doing in the portal is he's kind of reset the deck a little bit. He had obviously a very star-studded class last year that came in, was number two in the country. You know, Jared McCain was the crown jewel of that. He's off to the NBA. And by clearing some of those guys out, what you see is now John Shire can go in and he can immediately add talent that complements the elite high school class he has coming in. You know, you only get 1 year to build around a guy like Cooper Flagg. And so by going and getting a Gillis, by going and getting a Brown, two guys who are not necessarily every game starters, two guys who, you know, neither of them may end up scoring in double digits. You're averaging in double digits. But what they do is they really complement what he wants to build, which is an elite defensive team, one predicated on shooting around Cooper Flagg. And so I think this season is going to be a sign of more to come from John Shire over the next couple of seasons. He is going to continue to bring in those elite high schoolers, but he's also showing this offseason that he's willing to use the portal. He understands you have to use the portal. And so far, I think he's done a good job of using it to supplement the elite talent he already has coming in.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that they have done such a great job here in the transfer portal. And I do think that it's going to be really interesting to see how both Duke and North Carolina are going to be able to maneuver with the portal, especially now that the ACC is going to be looking a little bit different this year. Brandon, I'm sure that you're going to be taking some trips that you weren't expecting to take for like ACC competition, because like playing an ACC game out in Palo Alto is something that I never envisioned to be a possibility, but here we are in 2024, and that is on the rise. And just how are the teams that are left over from the ACC from a season ago going about these teams like SMU, like Stanford, that are going to be entering into the ACC, because it's a new dawn and a new day in college sports. And I think that's going to be intriguing to see if the newcomers have a little bit more of an advantage or if the stalwart teams in this conference do.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's great for my frequent flyer miles, Greg. I'll tell you that. You know, it's awesome for the miles and the points. You know, I saw something the other day where Stanford has already got the ACC logo on its courts. And like things like that are just going to naturally take some time to get used to. But I really do think that, you know, especially given that the ACC is still in a little bit of a state of flux. Obviously, these three schools are coming in. It's going to be their first year of full membership in the league. But we don't know in 2 or 3 years, is this still going to be what the membership of the ACC looks like? And so I think this scheduling model that we're going to see this next year, which is heavily predicated on two things. One, those West Coast teams and SMU, when they are playing the traditional ACC schools that we've thought of for, you know, the last 10 or 15 years or so, when they're playing those schools, they're going to be playing multiple on one road trip just to try and create some semblance of like the travel logistics making sense with all of this. And then the vice versa is also going to be true. So, you know, when a school goes to play at Stanford, they're going to play at Cal too. You know, there's going to be a lot of pairing like that. So, you know, just have a one-off where somebody's flying from Miami to Palo Alto for one basketball game doesn't really make a lot of sense. And like, we're going to have to get past that. We're going to have to get past the geography. We're going to have to do the same thing with the Big Ten, the Big 12. You know, those are giant geographic conferences now too. But I do think that especially early on, you know, the advantage goes to those already in the ACC teams, the ones who have been through it before, the ones who understand the differing styles of play. I will say, I like what Mark Madsen's done at Cal. They just brought in Andre Stojakovic, who was a, you know, top 50 recruit last year. You know, I think he's a really interesting piece. North Carolina and Kentucky were both interested in him out of the portal. I'm not saying these teams are not going to be able to compete, but certainly I think the teams that have been through it, that understand each other, the teams who understand, okay, this is what, you know, playing Virginia's pack line looks like. This is what playing against North Carolina's secondary break looks like. This is what playing NC State's press look like. This is what Miami's small ball looks like. The teams who already know those sorts of styles and have a head start on the scouting, I think just naturally they're going to be an advantage. But it'll be interesting to see if that changes over the years to come, especially with the membership still somewhat in flux.
Yep, and with the membership as well, the one that is the most random, the one that is going to be the trickiest in terms of the logistics is SMU. I mean, for lack of a better term, they were able to utilize the money because you've got a lot of really rich boosters over there at SMU. I actually have a former professor from UW Oshkosh that went down to SMU, and it's just hard to believe how much different it is down there. But I mean, they have utilized that money to be able to bring in Andy Enfield. If you look at their transfer portal, it has been nothing short of tremendous for this SMU team as well. And how tricky do you think they're going to be in the ACC? Because they are that one sort of island school out there in the great state of Texas. And now with them bringing in Kevin Boopy Miller from Wake Forest, Kerry Oquendo from Oregon, this is looking like a legitimate team that could be able to make some noise.
Oh, absolutely. They've brought in some really interesting pieces. And again, Enfield's, you know, a coach with proven NCAA tournament experience. I don't know that the fit out in Los Angeles, I mean, I was briefly out there last season and kind of felt like a mausoleum in the Galen Center. So I think it was probably in everybody's best interest for him to go and get a fresh start as well. Listen, SMU has talent. I think Rob Lanier, it's kind of wild to me that, you know, he was let go. I think Rob Lanier is a really good coach and I'm glad he's landed. But the fact that they have been able to sort of force their way into the ACC, forced their way into being, you know, a high major, you know, athletics program is pretty wild to me. I will say this, of all of those new teams that we're talking about, of SMU, of Stanford, and of Cal, well, I like the pieces that Cal has. I'm going with SMU to be that first, you know, to be the best of those three, at least in this first season. Like you said, Boopy Miller has experience in the ACC. You've got other high major pieces who had already been there. Andy Enfield's got a proven track record. There are plenty and plenty of resources there. I don't know that SMU is totally done yet with their roster building as of this recording. So they are as fascinating to me probably as anybody in the league, just because you don't really know what to expect. But I'm cautiously optimistic just because I do like the pieces, both from a personnel and staff standpoint, that they've added so far.
Oh, no question about it. I think that they are going to be very good out there in the ACC, as Brandon Marks of The Athletic is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And do want to keep this one a little bit open-ended because we've seen a lot of moves here in the transfer portal. And I think SMU is having a nice offseason. I'm not going to put them quite on the level of Kansas or anything like that. But you know what? You bring in Kevin Boopy Miller, you're doing a good job. But is there a team or two that you look at in terms of the offseason? They can be out there in the ACC, North Carolina. It could be just anyone out there in the nation that you take a look at what they've done this offseason, and maybe you feel like they've went a little bit under the radar and you really like the pieces and you feel like they deserve a little bit more love than what they've been getting over the last week or two.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I would say necessarily underrated, but I just cannot say how much I love. Bill Self is always going to do what he's going to do, but my God, is Kansas stacked next year. I mean, my God, are they going to be good. Rylan Griffin was one of my favorite players available in the portal. I just think he's terrific. You know, he's like a 3-and-D guy, super reliable. During the NCAA tournament, he evolved into this awesome wing. Obviously, they get AJ Storr from Wisconsin. He's somebody who can beat you one-on-one. Had some monster games for the Badgers. Zeke Mayo's another guy, you know, can score from multiple different levels. Like, obviously, you're bringing back Hunter Dickinson, you bring back DeJuan Harris, you bring back KJ Adams. Like, that is an absolute glut of talent. And so I really like what Kansas has done. I would also say, if there is somebody going under the radar who I don't know that we're talking quite enough about yet, and this is my ACC showing through, but I really like how Pat Kelsey has attached, you know, has approached the transfer portal in his first offseason at Louisville. I mean, aside from the fact that he has just brought an energy that has been lacking there the last couple of years, you go out, you get Terrence Edwards Jr., Sunbelt Player of the Year, you know, was one of the best players in the entire league for James Madison last year, was key to them having a record setting season. You know, he brings in two players from Charleston, Rain Smith, James Scott. You know, he's not going to be able to play next year. He's going to be redshirting, but Ali Khalifa from BYU was another favorite of mine to watch, sort of a playmaking, you know, hub of offense as a five, one of those like college Jokic like players. So I really like what Pat Kelsey has done. And again, like, I don't think it's inconceivable. Louisville, even for all of the pieces they lost, you know, Brandon Huntley Hatfield, Mike James go to NC State, a couple of other guys transfer out. I think Louisville's a team that could go from kind of laughing stock to like fringe NCAA tournament in one offseason, which again is a testament to Pat Kelsey. It's a testament to what Louisville can and should be, but it's good to see somebody back in there who seems to know what they're doing with that job.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I'm so glad you mentioned Kansas, because are they under the radar? No, but I mean, to your point, my goodness, if you tell me that Kansas is going to be going into the year as a preseason number one, I'm going to have absolutely no qualms with that. I always am a Ric Flair mentality guy. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. So I do default a little bit to UConn, but man, that Kansas team is going to be incredible. UConn is going to be incredible. Them bringing in Ada Mahaney, that's big. But my goodness gracious, you are looking at a juggernaut out there. And a juggernaut, when it comes to great insight, is you, Brendan. You do such a great job over there at The Athletic. You do an amazing job looking at Duke, North Carolina, the ACC as a whole, and so much more. So love the good people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate all the kind words, Greg. And, you know, I, like you, like everybody else in the college basketball space right now, we're all over the portal. You know, we're all over who's coming, who's going. We're all over the draft. Obviously, the combine's coming up. So we should know a lot more about where not just the rosters of Duke and North Carolina, but every roster stands really in the next month or so. So I'll be tracking all of that. I'll be trying to get to know some of these new players, some of these new staffs, trying to go and, you know, see what's going on at places like Louisville, just so we can get a fresh idea heading into the summer. But all my stuff is on Twitter, on X, at Brendan R. Marks. And then again, all of my stories are at The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription, highly recommend you check us out. I think we've got the most comprehensive sports writing staff in the country.
Absolutely. And Brendan does an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. So big thanks to Brendan for joining me right here on Cusco Superstyle, part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Coming up next, another wild day in college basketball on a Wednesday. So to give you guys a little bit of a recap of that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to Leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's Leesa.com/iHeart Exclusions apply. See Lisa.com for more details.
And we're back here in Las Vegas for Cusco Seats with myself, Craig Eames Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by Brandon Marks, who does such a great job over at The Athletic. Coupled with that, I know that he's doing an absolutely amazing job taking a look at this great game of college basketball on so many different fronts. Every single time he joins me, lends such great insight. So, big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast that I give you a recap of all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Wednesday. We're certainly going to be hitting a lot of these transfers, but how about if we lead off with a guy that's coming back? Because we're all making a lot out of these transfer moves and everything like that, but I do think that some of the returning guys can be big. And Michael O'Connell was such a big reason why NC State had the run that they did in the ACC and the NCAA tournament. You take a look at what he was able to do in the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament, those 10 games in total. He shot north of 50% from three, 9.5 points per contest while doling out about 3.8 assists per game, a little bit over a steal per contest, and really just elevated his play. He was very pedestrian prior to that run. If you take a look at the first, we're going to call it like 28, 29 games of the season, he was averaging more like 4.5 points per contest, was doing a nice job facilitating, but was not really taking hold of the offense. He's decided that he is going to be going back to NC State. So we do like to see that. And I mean, it's just refreshing to see in general where we've got a day and age that, as I refresh verbal commits as of right now, we've got in the transfer portal 2,007 guys. So we did reach a mark of 2,000 in terms of guys entering into the transfer portal. It is refreshing to see some of these guys staying on campus. So I do find that to be very nice. Femi Odekale, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Minnesota. He's going to be part of the state with the smallest drinks in the union. As for Odekale, long and winding road, was a double-figure scorer a few seasons ago over at Pittsburgh. And he was at New Mexico this past year. He had to really be a do-it-all sort of guy. 10.5 points, 6.5 boards, 3 assists per contest. There just really was not a lot there this past year over at New Mexico. Spent a little bit of time at Seton Hall where he really just wasn't effective, wasn't able to get out there on the floor too much. So we shall see what he's going to be able to do at Minnesota, because now with Minnesota losing Elijah Hawkins in the transfer portal, who was one of the top facilitators in all of college basketball, that's relatively rough for them. But that said, I do think that he's going to be able to do a relatively solid job here with Minnesota, and he's a capable three-point shooter, career about 32% three-point shooter at 6'5", really nice skill set. So we shall see what happens here. You've got Kentucky starting to be able to bring in some guys. They bring in Kirk Creasa from West Virginia. And for Creasa, he just did not find a good fit this last year when he was over at West Virginia. West Virginia's a little bit of a slower program. He needs to be playing much more up-tempo, and I think that he's going to fit very well in this Mark Pope style. He's a guy that's able to shoot it well from three-point range. He shot at West Virginia this last year, 42.5% from three-point range, logged 11.5 points, 4.7 assists per game. Now, he's a walking turnover. He had 3 turnovers per contest. Mark Pope is going to need to dial that in, but also coming along with him is Kobe Brea. Kobe Brea, he was absolutely tremendous this last season over at Dayton, one of the better sharpshooters that you were able to find in all of college basketball, and that is going to be of big help for Kirk Creasa, because a bad possession for him at West Virginia this last year was better than a good possession for someone else. And with Brea, he was able to log 11 points and shot 49.8% from three-point range just last season out there in the Atlantic 10. I don't think that he's going to quite duplicate 49.8% three-point shooting. I think that that would be a little bit far-fetched, but that said, that is going to be a big help to him. We were talking about Minnesota landing Femi Odekale. Part of the reason why they might have added him is that Cam Christie is now in the transfer portal as well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here moving forward, because I think that he is currently in the NBA draft process as well. He's going to be one of those guys that has a decision to make, and I mean, the Christies in general have been able to find a way to be able to get to the NBA. And for Cam, he last year had a solid year, 11.5 points per contest, but he wasn't like some sort of a top 100 recruit or anything like that. Shot 39% from three-point range. I'm wondering what his NBA prospects are. I'm not necessarily the world's biggest mock draft guy or anything like that, so I do think that he's going to be ending up transferring elsewhere. But that said, it is a circumstance where we shall see what is going to be happening on that front. We know what is going to be happening on this front, as you've got Van Allen Lubin also entering into the transfer portal. Van Allen Lubin was pretty much a sixth man about 2 seasons ago over at Notre Dame, and this last season he was dealing with a little bit of injury while he was over at Vanderbilt, and he was a solid player, 12.5 points, 6.5 half boards, a former top 100 recruit at 6'8" for his career, has shot in the neighborhood about 28% from three, shot 33% this last season, so was able to elevate his game a little bit with that regard, but we shall see what is going to be happening there. He becomes a relatively hot name out there in the transfer portal. This is going to be a relatively hot name out there in the transfer portal as well, as we had quite a few entries just at the last minute in general, as you saw Jaheim Hudson be able to enter in there. He was playing over at SMU this last season, and he's been a guy that has had a little bit of a long and winding road. I do think that a lot of these mid-major schools are going to be reaching out and contacting him. He, this last year over at SMU, was able to log about 5.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. Really had his best go of it when he was at Georgia Southern during the 2022-23 campaign. Was logging 10 points, 7 boards, was giving you a block, a steal per contest. Guy that's capable of popping threes at about 6'7", so I do like his overall skill set. Going to be very interesting to see what teams are going to be taking a look at him. Now, if I were to recap every single guy that entered in the transfer portal yesterday, we would be here for a very long time. Like, you saw Jack Brown, who was over at Fairfield and did absolutely nothing for them, enter into the transfer portal. So we're just going to be hitting the highlights, and this is certainly a highlight. Chris Ludlam, he decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal after Chris Ludlam last season. He was pretty rock solid over at St. John's. You can tell that he had a little bit of a tough time adjusting from a little bit more of a primary role over at Harvard. When he was at Harvard for his last year, the 2022-23 campaign, logged 18.5 points, 8.5 boards, 1.8 steals, a block per contest, capable of popping threes, but his career about 30% three-point shooter at 6'6". I have to figure that there's going to be a whole bunch of teams that are going to be knocking at his door. They're going to be interested in him, and I do think that there's also going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on PJ Hayes. Hayes last season was playing over at San Diego, and for the old Toreros this last season, was able to do a pretty rock-solid job for them. It was a team that was just completely allergic to defense, but still, he came in, he gave the team about 10.5 points per contest, actually came over, I believe, from the non-D1 level over at Black Hills State College. That is also where we saw the big-time elevator from Colorado State, Joel Scott, come from as well. So you have to wonder if he's going to try to reunite with his old college teammate, but that said, shot about 40% from three-point range. Good offensive player, leaves a little bit of something to be desired on the defensive front, but all in all, a guy that I think a lot of teams are going to be very interested in the transfer portal. I think that there's going to be a lot of teams interested in a pair of other interesting gentlemen as well. So Latrell Reed, he last season was playing over at St. Peter's. He is out in the transfer portal as well. With Latrell Reed, he just does a little bit of everything. He doesn't necessarily do one thing great. He's not going to go out there and he's not going to completely light the world on fire or anything, but that said, you need him to grab a few rebounds, he's going to be able to do so. He was able to dole out north of 3.5 assists per contest this past season. He's not an amazing three-point shooter, but he's a competent shooter, as he was able to shoot about 34% from three-point range, logged about a steal to go along with 4.5 assists per game, so I think that there's going to be a lot of teams interested in him. And then Trevon Brazil, who last season was over at Arkansas, if he could stay healthy, there's something to be had here. 6'9" gentleman that popped it from three-point range at about a 35.5% clip, has good size, good strength, 8.5 points, 6 rebounds per game. He was just part of an Arkansas team that was disjointed, was just completely a harebrained and insane, so he's now in the transfer portal, and we shall see what his prospects are going to be moving forward. And we now know the prospects of this gentleman, as Tulane's Jordan Wood head on over to Stetson, and this is a nice get for Stetson, as they lose quite a few guys like Jalen Blackman, Oben Gesterse, these guys being out the fold, that hurts. But bringing over a guy like a Jordan Wood, that's a big-time win for them, and Stetson has been able to do a solid job thus far here in the transfer portal. Last year at Tulane, just was really not able to get out there on the floor too much. He had quite a bit more success when he was playing over for the Bison of Howard. And his last season over at Howard during the 2022-23 campaign, was able to log about 8.5 points, nearly 4 boards per contest, shot 37% from 3-point range as a 6'9", little bit of a combo guy. Stetson, as we know, not necessarily the world's greatest defense when he was at Howard. And over at Tulane, for that matter, they weren't necessarily playing the world's greatest defense, but I think that this is going to be a very good fit for this program, so do have to like to see that. Now, this one I do question a little bit. Dejai Bailey, he decided that he is going to be going from Richmond and he's going to be going to LSU. Like, no fault to Bailey. I mean, if he's able to get into LSU, good for him. But that said, with Dejai Bailey, solid player last year over at Richmond. He was more of a 10th man, a guy that came in off the bench, though. He was able to log about 10 points per contest, shot 32% from 3-point range. I really have to wonder how LSU is going to utilize him. This can't be anything more than a depth piece. being that he's already a senior, I don't know really what the plan is. If they're banking on him playing a lot of minutes, I think that it's going to be a really, really long year for LSU. Like, for Bailey, he in his first 3 years on campus at Richmond never averaged more than 3 points per game, so you have to wonder if this is a little bit of a flash in the pan as well. So, have some question marks right now as to what's going on with a LSU team that's not been able to elevate the last few seasons. RJ Godfrey, he was playing this last year over at Clemson. He's going to be heading to Georgia, and under the radar, Mike White has actually done a really good job of being able to operate in the transfer portal. He knows that he can't necessarily bring in these, like, superstar guys or anything like that, but he's doing really the best of what he's got, and he's been able to do an okay job on the recruiting trail. He's building up a Georgia team that it feels like is getting a little bit better on defense. He looked himself in the mirror and said, you know what, Georgia needs a little bit more rebounding, so you bring in a guy like an RJ Godfrey. They bring in Justin Abson, who was a really good shot blocker over at Appalachian State. They bring in essentially the backcourt of Mount St. Mary's in Deshaun Montgomery and Dakota Lafew, which I think those guys are going to struggle out there in the SEC. But you know what? If they can bring in another guard or two, I think that you're looking at an okay team out there in the SEC. I'm not saying they're an NCAA tournament team. I'm not saying anything amazing is happening. But considering what Tom Crean did to this program a few seasons ago, things seem to be going in the right direction. You saw Dede Hall. He last season was playing over at Stone Cold Steve F. Austin, was their top scorer 2 seasons ago. Last year was just dealing with injury in general. He's decided that he's going to be going over to San Jose State, as I always like to call it, San Jose State. And for Dede Hall, when he was out there on the floor this last year, was able to log about 10.5 points, 5 rebounds per game, is able to really do a nice job of being able to generate turnovers as well. And San Jose State needs that. San Jose State, the last few seasons, has played at a slow style where they have played no defense whatsoever, have not been able to generate turnovers. And with MJ Amy, their top scorer from last season, out of the fold, they need to add something. And I think the biggest thing for Tim Miles, and I think Tim Miles does an absolutely tremendous job, but his teams have had absolutely no depth whatsoever the last few seasons. They just need to bring in guys. Like, I wish I could put it any other way, but they need guys, whether they're going to the NAIA level, whether they are going to be scoring some junior college guys. I do think that bringing in Dede Hall, this is a very nice gift for them. He's able to be a nice primary scorer for them, but San Jose State just needs bodies, and they just need to be able to get away from the, like, pretty much 4.5-man rotation that they've been running the last few seasons, and right now for San Jose State, this is the lone guy other than Donovan Yap that they brought into the transfer portal. So hopefully they're going to be bringing in a little bit of something more. Justin Thomas, he last season was playing over at UTSA. Meet for the Roadrunners. He's heading on over to Florida State. This is another one of those classic cases. I was talking about this with Bailey over at LSU. If Florida State is banking on Justin Thomas for a lot of minutes, man, this is not going to be necessarily the world's most tremendous sort of go of it for them, considering Justin Thomas played literally as many minutes as myself a season ago. He was playing at UW-Milwaukee during the 2022-23 season, and he was fine for UW-Milwaukee. Shot 43% from three, but only attempted like 2 threes per game, 7.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists, and to go down to the junior college level. If Florida State is looking to build up like that 10-man rotation like they once had, great. If they aren't, and if they're actually banking on him for a lot of minutes, well, they are in a world of hurt. And the same goes for this one as well, as they weren't done bringing in the mid-major guys. Boston Holt, who last year was relatively solid in South Dakota, he was able to give the team 12.5 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists, shot 39% from three. He's also heading to Florida State. Again, if he's a guy that's coming off the bench, giving you 10, 12 minutes, a little bit of a microwave score, great. A guy that began his career over at Utah. If they are looking at him for legitimate minutes, this team is just absolutely screwed. So we shall be seeing what Florida State is going to be doing moving forward. And I think that this might have been a little bit of panic, in my opinion, for Florida State as well. And I would not doubt if we're starting to see more and more of these moves just happen, because with the transfer portal being closed as of May 1st, now everyone that's out there on the board is needing to be pretty much taken off the board. And right now for Florida State, their transfer portal all is Holt, Thomas, and Jerry Dang, who comes over from Hampton and didn't really do a whole heck of a lot at Hampton. So right now it's been not so great for them, to say the least. We did see a pair of Chicago State guys, and Matt Bewley and Ryan Bewley, the Bewley brothers that were 5-star recruits, they're out there in the transfer portal as well. Crying shame that they could not get out there. Like, Chicago State was really able to elevate in this past season, but these guys, they could have really transformed that program. They were not able to get out there on the floor. We just don't know what they're going to be able to bring to the table at the college level as of right now. I've seen a little bit of their tape, and It was relatively impressive what I did see out of them. That said, it's a jury's out sort of situation, so we shall see what is going to be happening there. You got Jerron Pierre Jr. He was playing this last season over at Grambling. Was able to log about 10.5 points per contest while he was at Wichita State. Was not really able to get out there on the floor this past year. He has decided that he is going to be entering the transfer portal, and I do think that there's going to be quite a few guys that are going to be out on him. It was very unfortunate that Pierre was unable to really get out there and was unable to elevate in terms of the program over at Grambling, but that said, this is a guy that's able to knock down quite a few threes. He's able to be a nice little bit of a difference maker, and when we were able to last get a glimpse of him as he also began his career over at Southern Miss, was doing a nice job of being able to be just sort of that stretch guard. He's someone that's able to be about 6'5", not necessarily going to be too much of a facilitator, but that said, I do think that there's going to be quite a bit of upside with whoever is going to be deciding to take a little bit of a shot on him. It is clear that Purdue Fort Wayne is going to be taking a shot on this guy. It's Chandler Cuthrell. He has decided that he is going to be going from the Meet Roadrunners, and he is going to be heading on over to Purdue Fort Wayne. For Purdue Fort Wayne, the biggest thing that this team needed to address was the rebounding, as they were able to do a nice job on offense. They cleaned up the turnovers. They've got some good three-point shooting. They need someone to hit the glass, and I do think that this is going to be able to help out with this. Cuthrell this last season over at UTSA, up-tempo style, so he's very used to running it and gunning it. He had about 5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. He's able to pop threes, shot him at a 33% clip this last season. I think that this is actually a really good fit for them. Not a guy that put up like outlandish numbers or anything like that, but I do like that fit. And for West Virginia, they trade in Kirk Reason and said they're going to have Javon Small running the show for them. And I really like this get for West Virginia. Javon Small came up big last season for Oklahoma State. He's able to give them 15 points, about 4.5 boards, 4 assists per contest when he was over at East Carolina. He was able to do it all. And I think that he and Tucker DeVries are going to play really well off of one another. This means that Tucker DeVries doesn't necessarily need to play that point guard spot or anything like that, because he had the ball in his hands a ton at Drake. This will allow him to be able to play off the ball a little bit more. And I mean, for Javon Small in the Big 12 last year, he shot 37.5% from three-point range. He's capable of giving you a steal or two per game as well. I think that this is a really good fit for Mr. DeVries. You were wondering when they were going to be able to get that next guard in. They have got it in, so I do think that this is going to be very, very solid as well. And then a very, very late get in the transfer portal, and I wouldn't doubt as of the time of recording that I'm missing a few, and I might have a little bit of cleanup on some of these guys that filed before the deadline to be able to enter into the transfer portal if I have a few to clean up tomorrow. But Shai Odom, he was able to put up about 8.5 points per contest, 2.5 assists at Howard this last season. Had his best year 2 years ago when he was able to log about 11 points per game when the team made the NCAA tournament as the 16 seed. He is now out there in the transfer portal as well, and you saw August Mahoney also enter into the transfer portal as well. This is just coming by as I'm recording this right in the neighborhood about 10:45 p.m. Pacific time, but for Mahoney, you have to figure that there's going to be a lot of interest for this Mahoney, as he was able to log 10.5 points per contest this last year, and each of the last 2 years at Yale shot at least 45.3% from three-point range. Like, there are some things that translate from the mid-major level up to the power conference level. There are some things that are not. A 45% three-point shooter like this, I do think that there is going to be a whole lot of guys that are going to be interested in him, and I do think that there's going to be a team that is going to be very, very fortunate that they were able to bring him into the program. And then you saw Miles Che. He last season was playing over at Chattanooga. He's going to be going to UC Irvine, so zot zot for the Anteaters. And UC Irvine doesn't utilize the transfer portal too much. When they do, they seem to hit every single time. With Che, he actually began his career over there in the great state of California, played for a lot of prep schools out there. He logged this last year for Chattanooga as a part-time starter, 7.5 points, right around about 2 assists per contest. He's not a guy that's necessarily going to elevate you from three-point range. Needs to have the ball in his hands a little bit, but as we saw with Pierre Cockrell, the team has an eye for finding these guys are able to do a nice job of just being able to elevate the program in general. So I do think that that's going to be big. And you saw Khalifa Seiko. He was playing over at Utah State this last season. Just really couldn't get out there on the floor. He's going to be going to Sam Houston State. This is going to be a solid gift for Sam Houston State. He's a guy with a little bit of versatility. He's got some size. He's able to step outside and is able to knock down a few shots as well. I think that he's going to be a good get for Sam Houston State moving forward. And I do like this get for Southern Miss. D'Antoni Gordon, he last season was playing over at Little Rock, and He has decided that he's going to be adding on over two Southern Miss. For Southern Miss, it was very clear that the Andre Curbelo experiment was not necessarily the world's greatest for them, but we never will truly know how that turned out because he got so badly injured. But that's it for D'Antoni Gordon. He has been passed around like a basket of breadsticks. I think that he began his career at the junior college level, played a year at Wichita State, played the last few over at Little Rock, but was very much a nice difference maker for Little Rock. This last year shot 34.5% from three-point range, right around about 5 boards, 11.5 points per game. He stands in the neighborhood about 6'7". This is exactly what Southern Miss was lacking a season ago, so I do think that he's going to be able to bring some oomph, and we're looking to bring you some oomph every single day on this podcast. We're looking to make the 2024-25 season the best ever, and if you do like hearing from the Sign Podcast, Ghost Ghost Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X Timeline at @JuneIn_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. So, as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks once again to Brandon Marks, who does great work over at The Athletic. He joined me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day, regular season and off season, on this podcast. So, I will be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Watch sensational Grand Slam action on Tennis Channel as top stars clash at Roland Garros in Paris. Catch all the excitement.
What a shot! Come on now!
With Tennis Channel's comprehensive coverage as we bring you live matches and nightly encores, plus match previews.
That is awesome!
Don't miss one of the greatest events in all of sports, Roland Garros, the French Open. Daily live coverage on Tennis Channel, now through June 9th.